everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I am your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me as always is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, it's the Magnificent Seven. This week is, we're crazy busy this week.
Yeah.
So there's some news. Mostly the news is I've got some news. Don't
do you got news?
Shake your head
I'm
at me.
To, like I didn't know any news.
There's kind of some news. What the only thing about the news is that it's the actual week of fall TV show premieres.
Right.
So that's a lot of
that's
the news.
That's a ton of subsequent.
But yeah, we've got some news. But also we're going to run through the shows.
Right.
That came out really quickly. We're not going to go into a lot of detail. You know, go to the website and see the full reviews and everything, but we'll give you like the rundown. And then we've got the Magnificent Seven, and then we do actually have our critic takedown.
Yeah.
Which for me is hilarious. And I'm going to give a pre shout out right now. Steve in Buffalo, New York sent us this. And it's funny because, I'll let part of the cat out of the bag or whatever. It's Entertainment Weekly that we are taking down. And what's funny about it is Steve sent us an email and commented about the fact that whenever we talk about the critic takedown, we usually talk too long, maybe about the prerequisites, right?
Oh,
like,
oh, okay.
Like right. It can't just be that they have the opposite view, blah 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 blah.
Right.
And so, like his email, he mentioned that stuff and everything, and he goes, "I hope this counts." She didn't even review it.
Well, that's interesting.
So it was awesome, and he's like, "I would say that this is a bad review."
Right.
But it's not even a review. So does that count or, or something to that effect. And it was funny. And it's Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Oh, great. That's a film we love.
And I'm going to throw this out, too, because we did not like that movie.
Right.
And now, in fairness, I guess, we'll pretend this is fairness. Like on Metacritic, this review is listed at 75.
Really?
The official rating is a B. Right, because that's how
that's how
Entertainment Weekly goes, and Metacritic translates everyone's whatever into a number, and then make it up if they have to. If a person
they don't give a number,
whatever place doesn't actually have any number system at all,
then they just
make something up, which I think is gotta suck as a job.
you
have to read all the things and go, you meant. Eight,
if you think of it
or
on, like
whatever,
a score,
right?
on a scale of like 1 to 10 or 1 to 100, you're in trouble. Just do 1 to 4 and then multiply by 4.
Right. So. And I do have to say, I'm going to throw this out before we even get to it, because I'm going to tease you like crazy about this critic takedown, apparently, is what I'm going to do.
All right.
The San Francisco Chronicle
gave
this
100.
This is 100.
Shut up,
Mike and Dave. This is on.
Is it a real 100? Like
it's on It's on Metacritic as 100. I don't know. I didn't go to them. I don't even know if they rate it.
I have to.
I have not checked on that.
That is
aspect of
horrible.
It. But anyway, so the Metacritic score is slightly skewed at this point.
If anybody, I remember our scores from that because that wasn't that long ago.
No.
You gave it a 2, and I gave it twice that. I gave it a 4.
Yeah, I couldn't stand it,
and I thought
you were like, whatever.
Yeah, I was all right with some of the giggles.
Right, sure. Okay, so I should throw out before we jump into this, the Magnificent Seven, did obviously take the box office.
Right.
Storks is also out this week. I did see that. And
how'd that go?
It's really good. It's very weird.
It looks fun.
It's fun. And there's a lot of it that I like. Andy Samberg is the head stork person. And so he's good.
Right.
And I like him in general, but he does a good job with the voice acting, I think, in this. But it's very weird. It's almost like, if we suddenly decided to kind of update Rankin and Bass stuff,
right? Okay,
like
I know what that means.
They're
so,
weird,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean, especially some of them,
right?
Some of the super classic ones are only like a little weird,
right?
I guess, but they, you know, there's others and they're weird. I mean, they're about weird stuff. There's a part in Storks where suddenly, for no reason, like this wolf pack is chasing them, and they magically can do stuff like pack shape of a boat, right?
Really?
Because they need to go on the water, and then the wolves all just like form up and they like make a bridge at one point, and make like the wolf bridge, and it's just so screwy.
Yeah.
It's like nonsensical weirdness, but it is fun and it has a cool story and you know, yada yada. It wasn't like the next best animated movie you've ever seen, but it was fun. I liked it better, if this means anything to anyone, than Secret Life of Pets, which was also pretty good.
You thought that was pretty good,
Yeah. So
I saw an animated movie. I saw Sausage Party.
Oh God!
And watched my girlfriend cringe in like embarrassed horror, not in a prudish way, but just in a. I think it was in an overwhelming barrage of sexist vegetables and fruit way, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
But
watching
it, I just can't believe that one of my closest friends took his like 10-year-old kid to it and didn't have to explain the birds and bees
didn't run away.
And didn't do anything. And he said there was a father. And of course it was a father, but he said there was a father who brought like his 8-year-old daughter to it. And within like 10 minutes, they were rushing out. And he's like, that probably should have told me something.
Right. I could have taken that hint, but I decided against it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so jumping into news, just really quickly, because like I said, there's not enough and there's too much.
Right.
Because, you know, I could just say a whole bunch of stuff about TV shows and that would be the news. So some of this goes back a little bit. And if you're like really up on news, it's slightly old, but there's new Magnum PI series coming and it's going to have a woman.
Right.
It's going to be about actually Magnum's daughter,
right,
who also goes by Magnum.
Right. Well, that's because it's
so it's Magnum.
Name.
So the
Thomas,
name is
Thomas
Magnum.
Magnum.
Right.
Yeah, that was his name.
His daughter apparently comes to like take over his because he's old.
Tom Selleck going to make a cameo in the opening, like handing it off. That would be pretty awesome.
You would think he would have to.
Just hand
for
him a check.
For that to
like,
be the story.
Get here. Yeah.
You would think that would have
would
to because
that.
What else would they do?
Right.
They would just refer to him a lot.
Right.
Yeah, he's not dead.
Right.
He's not supposedly dead.
You know what the funny problem is? Look, just I'm not trying to hijack all this, but you bring him in the pilot to hand it off to her, and he goes like, hey, I'm going to Maine because I want colder temperatures.
Right. And then you have that spinoff.
But then if she's ever in trouble, she's got to call her dad.
Yeah.
Like he knows it all. He's got to be on file to be like, you know, the brain to get her out of stuff.
Right. And then
maybe that opens a box they don't want to go in.
That's right. And then the long arc of the show is that it turns out he's a bad guy.
Right.
He becomes a bad guy.
He's like Dr.
puts
Evil.
Together the threads.
He gets like
right?
the cat and holds the metal glove. I think that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Speaking of new shows.
And I'm sorry. And that's in a complimentary way, I like that idea much better than just recasting somebody.
Just, yeah, straight like reboot.
Or recasting someone, and if it was a Caucasian, throw in an Asian person or an African. Like, don't just do it because the political climate says so.
Just because you feel like you're patting yourself on the back.
That's a good reason.
Yeah.
Make it a woman. That's okay. Now you got my ire up because I'm like, why do you got to just do that? But hey, it's his daughter. I'm like, cool. I'm good with that.
Right.
I'm totally good
now
with that.
Now it's a story.
Now I'm curious.
Now it's a story instead of just you
exactly.
trying to tick off boxes and go, this many women, this many, you know, whatever. Yeah. Anyway, okay, speaking of shows, A&E is developing a show with Leah Remini. That's a Scientology show.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Now, there's not a lot of information about that, at this point, because, you know, this is supposed to all be a big surprise. You don't want to – they can't tell you anything or else there's no point in showing it to you, right? They can't just, like, release a thing.
Right.
But apparently, supposedly, it's been filming for a while.
Yeah,
it's like in production, and you know who knows what it's about. Is it like some weird documentary show? Is she you know, making a sitcom? No,
right.
I mean, no.
Right. That would be awesome too.
Those wacky Scientologists, like the sitcom, that'd be good.
Yeah.
No, but apparently it's been going for a while. It's supposed to come out, I think, at the beginning of the year. There is when it airs. So that's,
yeah,
you know,
that's something
like I kind of like the idea that, you know, there's several people who have, you know, left Scientology and then been kind of vocal about being opposed to it and why they left or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, it's like a couple of weeks and you never hear from them again. Just
right.
Life moves on. I kind of like the fact that, you know, if she's going to be pissed, you know, then she's going to be pissed.
Right.
And she's going to actually take kind of a
right.
You messed with the wrong person stand.
Right.
If you're going to have a group that is make sure that you're so vocal about famous people being in it and stuff, and
right.
whatever famous person is in it, you know, takes whatever chance they can to mention it or something like that, then you get the flip side of that
right
back at you, right?
Right.
You piss somebody off, they're gonna tell everyone anyway.
Yeah.
And again, new shows. There's a lot of shows. For some reason, a bunch of new show news came out. Amazon is making a new show called Toy Wars, a new animated show that takes place in the world of 80s toys, whatever that means. And it's Hasbro versus Mattel toys.
Oh, so it's all G.I. Joe.
The Toy Wars,
versus,
like
you know,
He-Man
and
who knows. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool.
Some wacky show. If it's a show that kind of is almost like in the vein of like Lego, right? Like the Lego movies or some screwball
or
thing.
Or even Robot
like,
Chicken.
If it's screwball enough,
right.
It could be
if it's quirky,
interesting,
it could go.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, actually brand new news or at least really recent news. There's a Will and Grace reboot apparently coming.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
So yeah, that was just like earlier today.
Huh.
And at this point, you know, it's so new that it could not be true.
Right. it's only funny because that's totally true.
Yeah,
like, that's absolutely true.
It's it's really like hot off the presses, and at this point, you know, who knows?
Right.
I'm not claiming any truth to that
right.
in any
that's
way.
Just
right.
The news.
And also fairly recent news: Matt LeBlanc signed a 2-year deal with Top Gear.
Yep.
So that's, you know, can you imagine a fairly goofy show about cars that has more weird drama and shit going on
right.
with it. I mean, it's
it's
bizarre.
It's
like people getting fired, people getting rehired. Matt LeBlanc hates the other person, and then so that won't work out. He supposedly wants him fired. Maybe that's not true. Now he signs again.
Have
whatever.
Fun watching that. Tell me if it's any good. I'll take that.
No, I've never watched it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna watch it.
I've never watched an episode of it.
Not
in the British version, not the US version, not
right.
the whatever keeps
it
spinning
matter.
Around.
Yeah.
I couldn't care less.
Yeah, right.
There's no way there. You
we are in agreement there.
It's like if you purposely created a show just for me to not watch it.
Right.
That would be the show.
Yeah.
Unless anyone listening likes it, and then it's awesome.
Right.
That's my
we
favorite.
Love it.
It's my favorite show.
10.
Okay, and then ITV just signed on to have Britain's Got Talent and X Factor in England.
Right,
right. So that Simon Cowell can have more jillions of dollars through 2019. So those shows are at least around for a really long time. Yeah. And you know, it's just weird. Now he comes back, he's on America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing I hate about that show and every show, I actually really like America's Got Talent.
It's got times where it's good.
But you know, the reason America Idol, I think crashed is the same thing that I can't stand about America's Got Talent, and that is that the judges are so freaking pandering, nonsensical.
Except Simon.
You know, this is the year.
Right, yeah.
This is the best talent we've ever had.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, whoever they pick and send forward, they just have to keep saying that they're awesome
right.
because what are they going to say?
Yeah.
You're good
enough.
Yeah, you suck now.
Yeah.
I thought you were good,
right.
but, you know, you, I, And I just and that American Idol got progressively worse at that over like the last six seasons.
Yeah.
Until like the last two seasons, it was just.
Did that change though? Isn't Simon Cowell supposed to be the one that, like, while Paul Abdul and everybody else is like, yeah, man, you're great. You're he's just like, look, you're all right.
He's
the problem.
He's pretty hard on people in the earlier rounds.
Okay.
But the later it got, the less I liked him. And there were some acts that he would at least say, you know, this is not great or whatever. But I don't know. Even he felt like he sold out a little. Yeah. Like,
I can't wait for the final season, which is there's no more talent.
Right.
Like, they have literally found every talent.
America's out of talent.
Everywhere.
That's
it.
That's the show
the
they need.
Right. Yeah. No talent.
That would be a good show. Anyway. Okay. We got to like get through the news for God's sake.
Hit the news.
Other big news, California passed a law about IMDb. I imagine people have heard about this, but it's pretty new. California passed a law that IMDb has to take down actors' ages on request.
Right.
Like, if you tell IMDb, and it's, you know, I don't know how the state of the world exactly comes together on this stuff, but it seems like the dumbest thing.
It is truly the dumbest thing, because it's almost like the state of California governing body who passed this, they don't know how the internet works.
Well,
like, it's out there.
Well, it's both,
and
right?
It's already everywhere else.
It's
that's such a weird thing.
It's stupid in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The initial way is just that California thinks that it can pass laws about what happens on the internet, and then that means something.
Right.
But it's also stupid because, you know, all the people, I mean, like, SAG-AFTRA was way behind this, wanted it, pushed for it.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense. Right. I mean, it's like, now we've fixed age discrimination in Hollywood.
Right.
Check that box off. That's done.
Yeah.
We're all set
no
there
more
worries. Because now IMDb won't put your age if you
so
ask
weird.
Them to not do it.
I want to see the actor or actress that requests it and has the age removed. And then I'm like, now you're dumb.
And
you're really dumb.
And you know what's weird about it, too, is that IMDb, and it's not like it's just IMDb.
No,
it's internet
it's
sites,
thing,
but it's
right.
but it's really actually IMDb. Because it's the only thing that really matters,
right?
It's like, if we start putting everyone's age on areyousgreedy.com, no one's going to go, hey, there's a law, dude.
You should do that. I want to see you get the takedown notice.
Yeah.
That would
I'm going to get the cease
that.
And desist or
violation
of California law or whatever.
You might get like Nicole Kidman at the front door.
But,
be like,
what's kind of funny about it too, right, is that IMDb's response, or like the response of, you know, whoever
that
in putting forward the because it's a law. It's not like there's a court thing happening and they could be the defense or whatever. It's just, but their response is so like, like, they don't even know how to have a response.
Right.
They're like, but it's just a fact about the world.
Right.
I mean, we're not saying it.
It'll be taken off height.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like scrubbing any movie they don't like, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Running through quickly other things. Hulu is announced that they're developing virtual reality shows.
Yeah.
So that's big news. Take that for what it's worth. I don't know what that means or what they're going to do with it or how you get it or whatever, but they just want you to know that it's coming.
Right.
Julia Roberts is going to play PTA mom Kelly Peters in an upcoming movie. So this is the story of, you know, the mom who had planted dope in her car or whatever. And then so she was like, you know, arrested and the whole thing. And then it turns out that we have clear evidence that it was planted, and I don't even know the story exactly, but it's almost it's like she's on film doing it or something. There's something that, you know, that might not be it, but there's some crazy obvious evidence that she totally planted it,
right?
And so now there's a book about it, and we're turning that into a movie, and Julia Roberts will be the PTA mom who gets drugs planted on her.
That's
so that's coming your way. And finally, Universal bought the rights to Joe Hill's Snapshot 1988.
Right.
So that will be coming your way,
yeah,
which is kind of awesome.
It's going to be fun.
And actually, it's just cool whenever anything
right
that he does, because it's such weird stuff. It's so like out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Whether it turns out great or not great, right, or people love it or don't necessarily love it, but it's, you know, it's so out there outside the mainstream and yet not some indie student film that somebody's going to be made where that's the only place you can get offbeat stuff. Anyway,
it's weird.
So that's the news. And now it's down to TV shows, and we have to run through these really quick. I don't know.
Pages.
I don't. I have notes everywhere.
I know,
like a crazy person, because the producer didn't come in today, and so it's all down to me.
It's all down to you. And you, if you only did this with the list at the end of the year, this would be fun for you, like, because you like this. I see the joy in your face.
I like having notes.
You love having the notes.
Yeah.
The list. Look at the list of the shows.
The notes are great. It's just a list of shows. It's just a
list
of the shows. No, this is just the shows that have come out.
Like,
no.
I like this. Or like, okay.
No, I'll tell you if they suck. But no, the list is just – it's
all right, all right.
Get off my back.
Here we go. List.
Okay, so a ton of stuff came out this week, but not necessarily everything. And this is not taking into account – the cable networks or various things. Sci-fi had a show that came out already. It's got like another show coming out. There's all kinds of, you know, even like the CW has some stuff coming out in October, whatever. Yeah. But this is just like the big name thing. So, okay, first, Kevin Can Wait. So it's Kevin James. He's basically rebooting his own show,
right,
in a sense, right, except that he's a retired cop now, and the show basically is like right at the start of being a retired cop with his group of retired cop buddies, and you know, he's got his wife, who's not Leah Remini
right,
to a certain extent.
She looks like Leah Remini.
No, I mean, I guess like if you were describing her to the cops because she, you know, stole something from you, you know, they might pick up either person.
Okay. Except, that's weird.
Except that I think she's a fair amount taller, but other than that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, the show's okay so far.
Yeah.
The first episode of it, it's really like if you just really miss
King of Queens,
King of Queens,
yeah, you want new episodes,
and you go, yeah, let's have some more of that. And his his basic kind of, you know, patter that is his comedy in that show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not necessarily going so hard on the weight, but it's still a big thing that we're playing for laughs.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's very mediocre, really. The Good Place is the one about accidentally going to heaven. And Ted Danson is whoever. He's like, we don't really say. All they say is that all religions got it about 5%
right
of what it is that happens when you die.
Right.
And then we have the woman who really was not a nice person, but finds herself accidentally in the good place.
Right.
And you don't want to go to the bad place,
right,
and all the, and you know, hilarity ensues, and it's quirky and goofy, and it's really good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it looks just weird enough to be fun.
Yeah. It's on the silly side kind of, but it's like screwy and fun. And, Ted Danson's actually really awesome in it. And he's really, I think, a guy that you need someone who's like Ted Danson.
Right.
You can't take his character and just give it to anyone. You need someone who has, you know, tons of experience being in sitcoms,
right,
and can do the character he has to do in like just the right way,
right,
because it could really go off the rails and be crap if he's not
on, you know,
given like, you know, it's a weird character and you have to play it exactly right. So anyway, that one's really good. Bull is on CBS.
That's
and it's just awful, but it's not the worst new show.
Ooh, because I thought Bull was it.
It is.
Maybe I'll know it when I hear it.
It's almost kind of sad. It's weird. I don't know. I don't know if Bull will last. In a perfect world, I would say there's no way it will last, apart from like maybe people like hate watching it, you know, like watching it because it's so bad that it's like entertaining.
Yeah.
But he's supposed to be Dr. Phil in his early career as like a trial manipulator, whatever he is. Like he analyzes the jury while the trial is going on, before the trial is going on. He will figure out everything about their lives so that he can tell you the exact story to say, even if it has nothing to do with evidence and stuff.
Right.
And the pilot episode, they even like come out that the person has their lawyer, who's a jerky lawyer, whatever, who's just kind of going, they have no evidence at all. Right. And, you know, Dr. Bull is like, you think that matters to anything? Right. Like,
I don't need evidence.
And then you watch the whole show and you go, yeah, in this case, it kind of does.
Yeah. Like, what a name for a show. You don't call it.
It's really weird. I don't know where that name comes from either. It's not like, I don't know. Maybe that's his nickname from those days. Then we got Scream Queens is not new, but it's the second season. And similarly, we've got American Horror Story, which also not new, but then
is new each
works
year.
Under the theory of kind of being a completely different show.
Yeah.
Both of them are fantastically stupid.
Yeah.
So if you like it and you're entertained, like Scream Queens is even like another level. Scream Queens goes far enough that it can easily be fun to watch. Because it is like going not even like in a mean way, but in like that's what they're trying to do way. Like they are just trying to be so over the top and goofy and ridiculous that if you play along with that, it can be kind of a fun show.
Right.
And what I think is cool about that show anyway is that the new season kicks off with them just going, look.
this is how freaking ridiculous
and goofy it is. It's like a cartoon that they put real people in. Right?
You haven't liked American Horror Story since the first season. If you liked that,
I liked the first season pretty good.
It's been declining.
I thought the second season was okay.
Yeah,
I thought the second season was like watchable.
Asylum, then it was the Coven,
and the third one was
was it Circus and then Coven?
No, the Circus was
four.
The last one?
God, I'm missing one. There was
I don't even know.
Yeah.
I know that
big fans here.
I know that the first one was pretty good and I was interested in it.
Right.
And wanted to know what they were gonna do. The second one was not as good, but it was watchable. The second one was like the weird prison.
It was the asylum.
And the third one I was kind of losing interest and it felt like they weren't trying as hard. Right. The fourth one, they decided to like, just think everyone's stupid for watching it.
I don't know.
The fourth one and the fifth one were both unwatchable messes. Yeah. and this one is like right on par with that. It's got its weird new spin of being a kooky TV documentary.
Right.
So you're watching the clips of the real people.
Right.
And then you watch the stuff happen, but it's just the reenactment and it's, you know, other stars, other like real people who are just in the reenactment show or whatever. And it's just goofy. And the thing where this one has gone even worse for me than even the previous ones that I didn't like is that it's really boring. The other ones were bad, but they weren't boring. This one is like we're watching these people talk like forever for no reason.
And you'll do it because it's on TV.
Right. Pretty much. So we love that. Okay. Next is This Is Us. This is the show that is basically people like Parenthood and don't want it to not be on.
Right.
So we made this show.
Right.
And actually, it's not bad. It's just that it's, I can't say I liked it very much, but this is a show basically, and it's got like the big twist, which already happened. So I could tell you what it was if I wanted to, but I don't really care.
No.
It has like a big twist in the first episode, and I just don't know where they're going to go with the show because, I don't know. Much like Parenthood, actually. When Parenthood, I just said I wasn't going to see what the twist
was. Well, I didn't watch it. Tell me after.
Well, I can say because it's already happened. Yeah, it doesn't matter. The twist is that one of the people we're watching is actually the parents of the other people. And we think it's all happening at the same time. But then at the end, we reveal that they're like in the 70s. And we've got the three other people that we're watching. Two of them, the whole time we know, are brothers.
Right.
The other one is, they're like twins. And yeah. we know that the whole time. And it's a brother and sister. And the other person that we're watching, it doesn't seem to be related at all. But he turns out to be in the previews, you see him like go find his father and say, you're my biological dad, whatever. Yeah. And you abandoned me on a fire step or whatever.
Yeah.
And it turns out that he's the adopted brother of them. And it all happened on the same night when the other people that we don't know are in the past.
Right.
Right. They go to the hospital. She's pregnant with triplets. One of them doesn't make it. At the exact moment that the doctor says, we've got this baby who was abandoned, you could still go home with triplets, just not in the way that you thought. And so they do.
Wow.
And then
hilarity ensues.
We're at the future. So then apparently the show's going to just keep going on by like going back and forth.
You think they would have sprinkled that out?
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing's weird, but it's very much like Parenthood in a way, because when that show started, I didn't know where that was going to go either. Right. Yeah. It's like, what's the gag? And the gag is basically that you just find more puppies to
weird
kick.
Thing. Right.
That's what this show has going for it, really. But it's not bad.
Not the worst show.
It's not horrible.
Not worse than Bull. All right.
No, that's not even close.
For this one.
Okay. So next, Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon was actually a big surprise for me because it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And I actually am interested to watch it and see what they do with it, which, I had no expectations going into that show. Lethal Weapon and The Exorcist are basically the two shows for me that maybe I just went in with the right super low expectations and that was good enough. But The Exorcist was a lot of fun.
Yeah. You said kind of creepy and spooky, right? Like a little eerie in the right way.
You know, I don't know who it's going to scare, but it is creepy. It's creepy like you don't want your little kids in the room watching.
Right.
It's like got weird, gross, like kind of exorcist-y crap happening, right? But, it's got like some maybe scary moments or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing for me with that show was just that they were taking it like kind of so seriously, but then it was almost like they were humble about it at the same time. You know, they were going, look, this isn't the next greatest thing.
Right.
This is just like a fun idea of turning this into a show, and we'll actually try to have characters and not just
you can
jumping on a piano every time you turn around. And it had oddly like a similar sensibility to the movie, things were not scary for modern day cats on piano reasons.
Right.
It was like this weird tension that we would actually try to build. And, it's not great, but I was like really surprised.
Yeah,
it was really pretty good. And Lethal Weapon sort of the same way. I was really surprised that they turned that into something worth watching.
Right.
And it had its moments of being overly cheesy too, but it was fun. Mm. So anyway, Lethal Weapon's one that's like, if you think there's any chance that you'll like it, you probably will. All right. Next is Speechless.
Right.
That's a really good show.
Looks good.
And if that show has a couple of good episodes following the pilot where it can kind of move its way through like the establishment and keep trying to overly play the shtick and just kind of get on with it, then I think it's going to be a show that everyone's going to like and is going to go far. It's really cool. And what's really cool about it is that it's about, obviously a mom of a child with special needs who's in a wheelchair and has all these, she wants the school to do everything that she thinks it should and everything. And the good part about the show is that the kid is like just totally normal kid.
Right.
And like, you don't see that coming.
Yeah.
Kind of. Right. He's like, if you made a show, if you made like Modern Family, and then at the last second, after you had the whole season already written, at the last second, you put in this character, you right. go, oh, and guess what? He's got,
right.
you know, some kind of disability.
Right.
And then, but like all his lines are still the same.
Right.
Everything that happens to him is still the same. Right. And that's like what this show is. And
yeah.
it's weird. Cool. It's almost odd to watch because
yeah.
you're like, what? They're
yeah.
just, you know, there's parts that I think are awesome that probably easy to overlook where, you know, the dad like makes jokes at his expense.
Yeah.
Where you're like, what?
Right.
But,
right.
But he does it to his other kids
right.
or, you know, whatever. I mean,
the same.
Not
There's
like,
no special
not
treatment.
Like meanly, just like kind of
no.
like ribbing him and,
right.
and poking fun at him
right.
and stuff. And, you know, calling out the fact that he's in the wheelchair, you know,
right.
like there's one scene where they have to chase down mom and keep her from doing some crazy thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's only got two of his kids, the daughter, and they're in the big van and the one in the wheelchair. The
right.
dad's like, well, one of you has to come with me and chase down mom. And one of you has to stay here with the car. How will we delegate
yeah.
these these jobs or whatever?
Right.
And you know, the kid like off,
sure.
you know,
right. Right.
But it's like, what? It's,
yeah.
So I think it's crazy awesome show
yeah.
that they are kind of so committed to
right.
portraying him in that way and his family as treating him in that way.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
And
that is cool.
And it's a funny show.
Right.
And it's good. So, Designated Survivor. I was a little surprised by that actually, because
yeah.
it was actually kind of good.
I heard someone who'd seen it also said they were really like, and you know, they were anticipating seeing a few more of those.
Yeah.
I, like, this isn't bad at all.
It's going to last for a while at
yeah.
least. It's,
and I think they just like the concept of it.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
it's not necessarily brilliant, but, Kiefer Sutherland is really good in it.
Yeah.
And that also has some kind of cheesy parts. And as far as the pilot goes, one of the problems with it, which may or may not bother people, is that everybody else is kind of, you know, spray painted on the
yeah,
wall really
right.
quickly
right.
during
right.
that, because they've got a lot of people and they're not really going to pay a lot of attention to them. They're just paying attention to him.
Right.
So,
right.
But he's really good. And that show is surprising. All right. Pitch. Is the woman playing baseball
right.
gets her ticket to the San Diego Padres, and that show was really surprisingly good too.
Yeah,
cool. I really liked that show, and I kind of thought that was going to be a show where they're just overplaying everything
sure.
and
going for easy laughs and setting up situations.
Yeah,
like Three's Company kind of thing.
And things are like
yeah.
you know, too obviously put together. You
right.
know, like the team doesn't want her around, and you know, there's like 10,000 70s or 80s
yeah.
movies
right.
that you can, you know, cut and paste
on.
Scenes.
Yeah. Right.
And but no, it's really pretty good. So anyway, that one's good. Notorious is really a fairly stupid show that's probably vying hard for the top spot, even though it doesn't get it. No,
oh.
no. But that and Bull is a tough call. If you've only
They're
got
neck and neck
if,
though,
if you've
right?
only got that and Bull,
yeah.
Because the show is so the show is so over the top. It's like a really really bad soap opera, just
right.
in prime time.
Right.
And it's not even like a good primetime soap opera,
yeah.
right? It's like a really bad one. And it's Lawyer and the lady who runs the news show. It's Piper Perabo, which
right.
makes me sad because
she,
I like her.
Yeah.
And I liked Covert Affairs, and she was good in that. And that was a fun show that didn't have to take itself too seriously.
Right.
And this show, it's, you know, this high-profile L.A. lawyer kind of colludes with her to make the news, shape the news,
right.
you know, have stuff happen and come out in a certain way, use her show to have the anchors kind of throw suspicion on other people
yeah.
and you know, like, just like a surprise attack guests that didn't know anything like that might be coming.
Right.
because then that throws doubt into the whatever the zeitgeist that the potential jurors will absorb or who knows what, right? And it's just, it's really goofy. And it's got 10,000 things happening all at the same time. And it's just, if a little bit of this is good, then if we just do 10,000 of it, then that's even better, right?
Right.
Anyway, it's pretty goofy, so it'll probably be a hit because it sort of fits in with the Shondaland scheme of things.
The whole, that world.
Anyway, okay, so we've almost covered everything. Son of Zorn is the
animated
live-action combination, which is not a good show.
Right.
But it's one of those where it just, you know, tells you how screwy it is in the basic premise. So if you play along with that, it's got some pretty good moments in it. And Jason Sudeikis voices Zorn, who's the animated barbarian who flies in from this island that you can apparently fly to where everyone's animated, and comes back to see his kid, who's 17 now, and finally gets railroaded into staying to have a relationship with his son, and hilarity ensues, and it's him trying to exist in the regular world, and it's so screwy that it's really fun at times. It's not pretending to be anything but really goofy, stupid fun. And so it kind of works. So that one's fun. And then there are a few that aren't out yet that haven't premiered yet that are coming like October 3rd or 11th. There's Timeless, which is the traveling through time, saving the world
thing.
That's actually really good.
It looks aesthetically great.
But I'm not sure if it's going to grab audience, right? And it deserves to. That's the show right now for me that if it doesn't make it, I hope somebody else picks it up. Like suddenly it's on Netflix or sci-fi. Because that one looks like a lot of fun, but it looks like a show that you have to let it have like a few episodes and get into it. I don't know. Anyway, then there's Conviction, which also looks really good, but odd. And it's the one about the, I forget what they call it, but it's like the conviction, like reassessment task force or something where they have like lawyers, people who were convicted and get them off or see what happened. Right. I don't know, but it's kind of a new spin on a legal drama and it looks like it's a lot of fun. And then American Housewife is, I think that one's the 11th. And that's a sitcom, and it's just basically like it's like Odd Mom Out, but with also weight issues. If you're familiar with Odd Mom Out, it's she lives in wherever she lives with all the moms that are have their supermodel bodies and doing yoga all the time, and she's like a regular person and tries to fit in and hates them all, and hilarity ensues, and then her kids have to deal with that. And it's very sort of like, I don't know, almost like Roseanne without quite those money issues, but it's, but it's like, they're trying to be regular or whatever they're trying to be, except that they're trying to be regular in a world of regular, and she's trying to be regular in, like Hollywood or, whatever, Orange County. And trying to get with those people. And the first episode is kind of funny because her neighbor is selling her house, and her neighbor is like, I forget her name. Her neighbor is like Fat Marge or something. She's the second fattest person in the neighborhood. So she moves. Now I'm the second fattest person in the neighborhood, and that's like a whole other thing because nobody cares who the third fattest is.
That's
not a measurement.
Right.
Anyway, and the worst show of the new season, if you've checked off your list, you know who it is because we've covered everything else, is MacGyver.
I didn't think that was going to be your worst, but I'm like, he hasn't mentioned MacGyver.
Which is so awful. It's not only awful. It's you know, my big thing. It's absolutely convinced that you're an idiot if you're watching it. It's like by, for, and about stupid people, even though one of them is supposedly a genius. It's like MacGyver mixed with James Bond mixed with like 10 other things on the side. The plot of the first episode is like Scooby-Doo would look at it and go, I don't think so. It's everything that happens.
Do you like the original? Do you like?
I like the original. Okay.
Before they turned him into a James Bondian kind of.
Before it got into a whole lot of episodes.
Before MacGyver became MacGyver.
When it was season 27.
And you had
a whole room full of people going, I don't know how to make anything else. We've done everything.
If you're a super villain and you've got MacGyver around you, like, sweep up the floor. Dust the room. Leave no fingernails.
And this show, it's so bizarrely dumbed down. It reminds me of Scorpion. Which is supposedly the show about geniuses, except that they all do stuff that if you had like a high school education, you could join the crew. And this show it's the same sort of thing. It's all super dumbed down. They label stuff on the screen, when he's like gadgeting or whenever anything happens, they like label stuff on the screen. Like he's trying to get a fingerprint off a glass. So he gets a handkerchief and like wipes the tailpipe of a car and then takes it in. And then later when he's got the glass, he like holds it up and he's going to like blow it onto the glass. And it says like soot. Like on the screen, like in case you didn't realize this was soot, this is soot. And then they do it for everything. They'll look at, he climbs into this plane in like the dumbest scene I've ever seen since like the A-Team. It's a scene that if it was like on the A-Team, you'd go that perfectly fits with A-Team, you know, nonsense,
methodology,
where he climbs up the landing gear of the plane and then he starts looking around and he's looking for like the landing gear thing to cut it so the landing gear won't go down, they can't continue flying and they have to turn back around and land, and he like looks up in there and there's just a bunch of wires and lights and crap and it says electronics.
Sounds awesome.
And there's a part where he's got like an electromagnet, he's making an electromagnet, he explains making an electromagnet, but he takes the stuff apart and they tell you what it is, wire,
Like
this is, you know, whatever it is, but he talks about making an electromagnet like he's making a particle accelerator. Like it's like you probably have never heard of an electromagnet, or don't understand what it would mean for there to be one, really, you're in fifth grade.
Would be really funny to see like a human sexuality course taught by MacGyver then.
Yeah,
with all the labeling, that would be a riot.
It's super bizarre, and it's absolutely committed to the idea that you're an idiot. Just super, super dumb. And the story is just dumb enough that maybe you'll follow it, especially if we point at things a lot or something or re-explain what's going on. And it's such a weird combination of trying, like, this is MacGyver now. Like, MacGyver didn't make anything that you couldn't have made. Like, he didn't make something, and now you learned how to make something. He didn't make anything that you don't know how to make anyway. I mean, if this was a show on like Disney XD or something, like kids would watch it and go, why are you talking to me like I'm an idiot?
I remember the old MacGyver actually got me interested in studying physics. Like I legitimately had interest in it because of some of the stuff that he did. This sounds like it would make me legitimately never look at science ever.
It's horrible. It doesn't even come close enough to science for you to connect it with science to not be interested in science because of this. It's like degrading watching it. It's such a weird thing. And like I said, it goes through there's a part, they also do it. It's not necessarily just when he's building stuff, but also when they have a stupid moment that they want to get you to believe or something.
Yeah.
So like he's pretending to be a waiter and he's carrying a tray at one point and people come in who are going to shoot at him.
Right.
So he's got this tray and he like holds it to the side kind of so that the little memo can pop up on the screen
yeah.
that says like whatever like really high
aluminum
steel
or whatever
super
know.
Thing
yeah.
it is that we make our trays out of. So that when he holds it up, like to block the bullets, you'll go, oh, well, but see, it was the super alloy, whatever. And yeah. you're like, what?
Right.
I mean,
right.
first of all, that's not a thing.
Right.
You don't
get to do that.
You don't make your trays out right. of whatever. And second of all, he didn't see the note. He
right.
doesn't know what it's made of just
right.
because he happens
oh,
to be
he knows.
Holding it.
He
right?
knows. He can tell
anyway.
By the metric weight.
Anyway. All right. So. That's pretty much the shows of the season. Pick what you want to watch.
Yeah.
Based on
Let
that.
Let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us know if you want to take down Mark.
Yeah.
Like if you really love MacGyver.
Yeah, if you think MacGyver is the next best thing. The sad thing is that it's on CBS.
Yeah.
Because much like Bull, that's also
is
on,
Bull
CBS.
On CBS. Oh,
yeah,
they're gonna have a big matchup.
Because CBS sticks with shows.
Right.
And you know, they don't come out with 20 shows a season.
Right.
They pick like their
like
few
six.
And
yeah.
they stick with them usually.
Yeah.
And basically they kind of let something go on for like, you know, 5 or 6 episodes and hope that it builds a little or something. And,
yeah.
you know, CBS really has this thing like we're CBS
right.
and we put it on.
Right.
So it's good and you'll like
right.
it. And then they stick with it. So.
Maybe.
So we may have a lot of that. MacGyver is the best show to watch on TV, though,
yeah.
because it's fun,
right?
Right. Sort of. Yeah. Anyway, all right. So we're wasted enough time. So the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have time to get to our critic takedown. But
yeah.
we wasted tons of time on a bunch of stuff that nobody cares about. Anyway. But the Magnificent Seven. So it won the weekend. It's got big stars,
yep.
Ethan Hawke, Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt.
Right.
And you would think it's got something going for it just being the Magnificent Seven. Like, how wrong can you go?
Right.
So it's a safe thing for sure to head to theaters
right.
to see. You've got to be thinking, unless you just have no idea that this is based on anything else.
Maybe this is an original concept.
Right, right.
Like,
you could be in that window of
right.
people, and then who knows? Then it's a Western trying to sell you, which
yeah.
is tricky, and you better just be a big Chris Pratt or Denzel Washington fan
right.
or whatever. So
right.
anyway, so jumping out with the ratings, though. This was actually really easy for me. It's funny because I was listening to some old episodes
right.
The last couple days, and it's like I almost always say right. that
this
they're really
hard
to rate.
One, yeah.
This was actually really easy for me to rate because, you know, not to over-explain the rating, but there's a lot of stuff that I had fun with, and there was a lot of stuff that I hated, and ultimately I kind of had a good time
yeah.
at a lot of parts. So it really easily fell into just slightly better than average. So I'm 6.
Oh man, I had it. I had you off. I actually had you at average. Yeah, that's what, you know, it's always funny when we do this. It's chock full of people and stars, and it's got a budget. It's got action. It's got all these things, and there's something for everybody. Like the woman who sold us our ticket couldn't care less about Denzel. She loved Vincent D'Onofrio, and the
right.
fact that he was in it was enough to make her flutter.
And in like a weird character.
Right. And like a strange
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
thing that is very Vincent D'Onofrio, D'Onofrianistic.
Yeah.
It's him. I actually had a little bit of fun with it, and I was a little annoyed with it. And I felt like it was pretty average. I was
yeah.
at 5.
Yeah.
You know, I thought if anything, it would have been almost 6.5 for me. And then I realized all the talent, all the budget, all the capability, all the possible potential, and it should have been 7 or 8. And the fact that it wasn't, and the fact that it
should have been 7 or 8, like at a starting point.
It should have just been so easy. And for me, the fun of the film was the first 35 minutes. You know, when you get to see Peter Sarsgaard and
yeah.
really how ruthless and believably crappy he is in that time period. you know, I was having fun with him. I'm like, okay, this will be the kind of dangerous adversary that they'll need. He's not just a tying up a woman, leaving her on the train tracks kind of guy. He's the I'll kidnap your woman and burn down your village kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, okay. But he still played it a little too oily for me.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I can't really give you the liken him that much. He was okay, but he really for me was, you know, like the first time we see him, maybe like
that
the first couple of minutes, maybe
like
or
that.
Something. But he was just too
just
twirling
too,
his mustache.
Like we say this sometimes, he's already at 11. He's unhinged.
Right.
He's crazy. He'll destroy everything just
right.
to get the dirt, you know, that you're standing on. And then there's no real need to. It almost seems like it took so much for granted that everyone saw a film that's like 40 or 50 years old. You know, this
right.
is based on the Western that's based on a Japanese film.
Right.
This is the third iteration of the Seven Samurai or the Magnificent Seven. And I felt like, you know, if you're going to do something this far after the remake,
and,
you know, then you should
really
amp this up because you have so much.
And really, it's got two problems for me. If you're going to do it, you have to really do it.
Right.
But the it's actually so different.
It is.
That you might as well have just been something else.
Done it all. Right. It does so much stuff in its own way to kind of carve its path. And then when it gets to a point where I feel like it's got to make a very easy and logical choice, left or right, it just goes kind of backwards. And it falls into a checklist of stuff that I've seen in films that were sci-fi, fantasy, horror. Like it was so terribly predictable. The action wasn't necessarily super engaging. It
right.
was loud, and there were a lot of things going on. But I never really believed that anybody was in the danger they were in, except that, you know, this guy can shoot the, you know, peacock eye 2 miles away
right.
if he's backwards and blindfolded. Like, okay, he's the baddest man in the world, but here's six more of them. There was no effort built into the story. It was just based on the preposition that I knew the story and therefore just wanted to see fancy new characters and faces on
right,
it.
Exactly.
I didn't like that. Though, as irritated as I was with the last half of the film, and this movie's like 40 minutes too long. That's
yeah.
a shock for anybody to hear from us, but it's really like feels long. It just should have done more and delivered more instead of believing that I was there to see just things. But for the average person who sees five or six films a year, this is going to be a real fun time.
But it was
for
still
them.
Fun, yeah.
And as far as like sometimes movies, because I was asked this a little while ago, as far as a movie sometimes just being like a fun time out, like go out for a couple hours and just enjoy yourself, then this falls in that category. If you start thinking critically about it, it falls apart.
Yeah.
You know, not because there's all kinds of gaping holes.
Yeah,
but
you massively can't think about it. And
right.
there's a lot of stuff in the movie that really bugged me. That is it really determined to like plant that stake,
right?
Like to go, look, you will not think about this
right.
and we will make it very obvious that if you think about it for like a second,
right.
it will all fall apart. You
right.
have to just,
you gotta just let it
run
go.
Headlong through
yeah.
this movie, even though it doesn't quite give you a chance to do that.
Yeah.
We're going to take a really quick break because I forgot to do this and time ran away from us. We're actually getting close to the end of the hour.
Right.
So
yeah.
we will have to keep on for a little while, unless you have to go. But
I'm done. I said my piece. I'm
yeah,
out.
I'm out.
Yeah.
So we are going to take a really quick break and then we'll come back. So if you're driving in your car, timing your hour, this is the time.
This is it.
Okay, that's good enough for a break.
Yeah.
The thing that's weird for me is, like you said, the movie wants you to have seen the other movie,
at least
that one, except that if you did, there's so much about this movie to not like.
Right.
And, you know, the weird thing, the original American version of this movie is a really great movie. And the main reason is because, for me anyway, is because it tries to stay so true to like the general sensibilities of the Kurosawa film.
Right.
Which means that there's a lot more of the townsfolk or the villagers or the, you know, whatever version of the movie
right.
you're watching. Right. And becoming part of their life and being regular people who are like these outlaws with the other regular people.
Right.
And then, you know, kind of getting a reason to invest in this thing that means nothing to you. This little town means nothing. Right. And there's none of that in this movie.
Yeah.
Like none.
Right.
I don't think there are more than two people in the village who have names.
Right.
I mean, right. that are in any way relevant, apart from Matt Bomer's character, who gets killed in the first couple minutes, probably has a name.
Right.
If you look at the script or whatever. But other than that, they go back to the point where they're supposed to be training the villagers and getting them on board to help. And you get like nothing out of that. You get like one lineup of people shooting at a thing. You get one excuse for kind of a joke with the knives deal. And that's it. There's nothing about these villagers. And it's also kind of a weird thing. Like you said, if you start thinking about anything, nothing that happens makes any sense, really. I mean, almost absolutely nothing makes any sense,
right.
Especially because they build up Peter Sarsgaard in a way that they don't need to,
right?
In a way that is not from either original film,
right?
As being just this pure evil, you know, he could be possessed.
He's the devil.
And it wouldn't be different, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the idea that we're working with, but it also makes it so that the whole movie doesn't actually make sense.
Right.
Because as opposed to the original movies, he really just wants everyone gone.
Right.
And that's not what they're after in the original movies. They need the people to still be there for the system to work. Like, they're bandits and they want to steal their food that they produce.
Yeah.
And they can't do that if we just slaughter them all. Right. But he can get what he wants if he just slaughters them all.
Right.
And he's just the guy who would do
it.
So how do you have any more movie?
Right. Why would he spend any money?
Right.
He'd be saving tons of money.
He's already slaughtered some people.
Yeah.
And obviously doesn't think there's going to be any repercussions for doing so.
Right.
And there's nothing different about just slaughtering everyone because he doesn't want the stuff to still be there.
Right.
He's got plenty of hired hands to kind of take over businesses if he needed to. I mean the whole thing like doesn't make any sense. And then it's weird, and then all along the movie there are all these other things that don't make any sense. That just kind of stand out if you try to think about the movie at all. and one that I find just fascinating in a history of film sort of way, is that they take over the town at a certain point.
Right.
And then they go, okay, we've got 7 days until he comes back. So we have to make our preparations. Except that the movie has built into the scenario that's happening that they now have a bank full of gold.
Right.
That they could just take because they took over the town.
And these men would know that.
And
they'd just go get it and be like, guess what?
Right. They all know it's there.
They're all set.
We can go anywhere and build our new 10 building town and hire our own crew of people to be our enforcers.
Yeah.
They have a bank full of gold.
Yeah. A whole mountain full.
They're just sitting there on. Anyway. But also it's got a lot of other weird problems. And like you said, it just wants us to look at these people and it comes up with a bunch of like tired cliche goofy scenes to introduce us to everyone.
Yeah.
The only one that was interesting was Vincent D'Onofrio was pretty interesting.
Right.
The Chris Pratt thing, he's got to fight these two rubes with his magic trick.
Yeah.
That whole scene is like maybe 5 minutes long and like 4.5 minutes too long. And it just, we just looking at him for fun.
Right.
And the same thing happens when we get to Goodnight Robichaux, who has now wasted the coolest name ever, because we did not take advantage of that in a good enough movie.
Right.
We see him in the goofy quick draw contest thing where the guy, you know, let's do it for real. It's literally like we took from the oldest Western we could find,
right?
Trying,
right?
we were just going, it's a movie.
Right.
And so we don't have to try anything else. It's just impressive that you can watch this thing and you duck when the train comes at you. Right. And we took that and said, I think that still plays.
Yeah.
And stuck it in this movie. And the it's almost corny.
Yeah.
And then that's stuck into a lot of stuff that you like,
right?
And is fun. And most of the stuff Denzel Washington does is really good.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff that Chris Pratt does is really good. I was actually really irritated almost by Ethan Hawke being like mishandled and wasted,
right?
Because that's a cool character.
It is a cool character
that we could have a lot more going on with. And they throw in this thing where he has his right hand man,
right?
Which is not actually from the other movies. That's
right.
The connection between the two or anything. That's new for this movie and kind of cool. I mean, not absolutely original.
No,
like no one ever said it before.
Right, but it's okay.
But it makes them into really interesting people. That at the end of the day, we create this little thing to make very interesting characters. And his character, the guy who is having all these self-doubts and runs away, that's an actual thing from the other movies.
Right.
Both of them, that character is the real thing.
Right.
But we add this kind of new spin to him where he's got to not only abandon everyone else and the town, but he's like running out on his right-hand man guy. That's
right.
Even like another level.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting stuff. And we just leave it lay there.
Right.
Because there's other stuff that we want to look at for a really long time when we waste a lot of time not doing things like not doing something more interesting with his character. We just treat his character as we need the guy who runs out later.
Right.
And we don't really, just because he talks to Denzel Washington for a few seconds does not mean that we've really like kind of gotten into that character.
Right.
And all of the stuff, like the movie is too long.
Yeah.
And yet there's a bunch of stuff that it doesn't do because
right.
It doesn't do anything with the town. It doesn't do anything. You know, this is like, I always screw this up on which Clint Eastwood movie this is. I feel like it's High Plains Drifter, but I don't think I'm right. You know, the one where he does the same thing, basically.
Right.
He comes in and saves the town and
right.
forces them to learn how to booby trap the town and you know, all that stuff. And that movie, you know, all about the townspeople and exploring them and the era and the setting and stuff.
Right.
And this one just kind of like, you know, shows you what might as well be just like a stock photo of old Tucson and
right.
goes, see, now you know.
Here, right.
I mean, there it is.
Yeah.
So you know. And so it's clearly just wasting tons of time and also not doing things that it should be doing. You know, if it was way too long and did a bunch of stuff that was kind of flashy and not interesting, but also was at least doing the things that it should,
right.
you'd give it a break for that, right?
Just looking over Antoine Fuqua's like IMDb stuff, which doesn't give his age, but it's interesting. Like looking back, it's like looking back over the last 15 years, all the way back to Training Day. He has been consecutively and consistently, for me, average. You know, Southpaw, The Equalizer, Olympus Had Fallen, Shooter, you know, King Arthur, you know, just this is that.
Yeah.
And it's strange. This feels very much what if I had concentrated a lot on him instead of the cast and just the genesis of the real good story that it was being built upon and what they could do with the crazy budget, special effects. And, you know, I probably wouldn't have thought it was just going to be average. I think when we went to go see this, I genuinely had an expectation of like no less than seven
yeah.
and a half.
Yeah.
Probably not a ceiling of 10, but maybe nine.
I did too, because like I said before,
you know?
Yeah, you're remaking a story
that
obviously works really
right.
well,
right.
and you're just updating it. And here, updating it means that there's a lot more people you have to kill,
right?
A lot more people
right.
show up, and all they do with it really is that we have a bunch of explosions.
Yeah,
we have a theory of protecting the town that actually doesn't make any sense. like,
right.
but makes for good shots. Right.
Right.
And what they have working for this movie is a bunch of special effects people. Nobody who is like a historian or strategist.
Right.
Because,
at all.
Because the plan makes no sense anyway.
Yeah.
The theory of their plan means we get to kill a lot of people right. and a lot of things explode and everyone dies.
Right.
Which is not the plan you come up with when you're trying to defend yourself, right?
Right.
And then I can't wait until this hits the internet when somebody counts
right.
and actually takes the movie apart.
Yeah.
Because they kill at least three times as many bad guys as showed up.
Sure.
Because they just keep coming.
Yeah,
they just kept coming
just kept
and they
dying,
just kept
yeah.
shooting them.
Yeah.
And they show them on this hill when they ride in and you
right.
see them and it's like a lot of people.
It's a lot of your seven,
but we had a couple of explosions that
right.
killed, you know, dozens and,
yep.
and then they just keep dying and dying. And then after they've all died, then all of a sudden there's still a bunch of them left
right.
at the Gatling gun
yeah.
or whatever. Also, you know, just cause I have to throw this out, not somebody who's overly familiar with how Gatling guns work
right.
involved in the show
yeah.
or what the potential for destruction of them is.
Right.
But it looks good and sounds good. It's
yeah.
funny. It's kind of funny in a way, in like a movie making way, where if you make a sci-fi movie, somebody's got the Uber Laser
right.
2000 or
yeah.
something, right?
Yeah.
That can do whatever you want,
sure,
because you're making it up.
Right.
If you make a movie old enough,
right.
about a weapon,
contemporary guns in the time
that
yeah.
that people don't know anything about, it's the same. It's the same
sure.
gig.
Yeah.
Where you could do exactly the same
yeah.
thing. And
well, it's funny. This Gatling gun is almost like based on the times it has appeared in other movies. Not like a real gun, but like, hey, I saw Predator do this. So
right.
that would be what a
right.
Gatling gun can do. You know, it's just like, all right, I guess.
It's like what happened is they know that you've seen lots of other movies and
right.
stuff. And really what they have is more like a rail gun.
Right. It's a gun.
They have like a
circle.
Modern day gun and they go, look, Gatling guns spin in a circle.
We'll do that. Yeah.
Rail guns spin in a circle.
Right.
So they can do the same
yeah.
thing.
Right.
And it all works out anyway. But also just the fact that we pay so much attention to trying to get to this end game
yeah.
that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Like it all builds up without, you know, really getting into the characters like Vincent D'Onofrio. This is a film I think made, and not that it's necessarily the director's fault, because I think there are a lot of points on this where I would say the direction is
it's
good.
It's yeah.
But there's a lot of the movie that happens in a way like when we meet Vincent D'Onofrio's character and we see him for like a minute and a half,
right?
Maybe 2 minutes in like the little introductory part. And we've covered his lines and everyone's kind of had like a chuckle
right.
at him or whatever. And then we're like, that character's done.
Right.
Like
we get it.
We've got everything we want to know. You'll figure him out. You
right.
know who he is. We don't have to really talk about him anymore or whatever. What we need to do is get to where we're digging trenches for like 2 days
yeah.
for no reason.
Right. Right.
You could have done something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the hours and manpower involved in digging those stupid ditches that they're in.
Right.
That don't do anything.
Yeah,
there's no reason for them to be there. They didn't have a scheme.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I thought they were digging pits at
so
first
did I.
That
so
the
did
horses
I.
were going to
fall
into
right,
right.
He's actually and
excuse
and
me
those scenes, it's strange, the scenes that were the best for me weren't the action scenes, they weren't the scenes driven by action, they were them interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
and that's why I said, you know, the first 40 minutes when you have the montage, it's not really a montage, but you have the recruitment, you know, chunk of the film where Denzel has to go around and pick all these stray, weird, dangerous, lethal people up
and
tell them like they should come with him
and
for no reason.
And he's got a connection to some.
Right.
He doesn't
he's
have any connection
some,
to some.
Right.
Whatever.
And for me, the best part of the film is that. And then later when it starts bridging those two moments when they're in the town and they're working hard, but they're all just kind of like the seven of them are hanging out and you see reflections of their personality like on the porch.
Right. And
when
they're
was talking
and
to
there's
everybody.
Such
a great
varied
right.
crew of people.
Yep.
And all that stuff is really good.
It's great.
And will mostly that together with the fact that Denzel Washington can just kind of be awesome
right.
and turn on the charm. And Chris Pratt,
yeah,
to a different extent,
yeah,
in a different way, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
He can just kind of charisma you
right.
into watching almost anything. It will carry you through the
sure.
movie
yep.
and make
absolutely.
It be about average.
Yeah.
But there's so much stuff that misses
it's
and is weird
yeah.
that it just can't get better than that.
Yeah.
And it really should.
It really should.
It really should, especially with them in it. If you just
absolutely,
if you just made halfway decentness and
yeah.
them
right,
and paid a little bit more attention to stuff, but. It's also weird because Peter Sarsgaard, as I said, is really a divergence from the whole theory we're working
right.
in the other movies. Just even in the fact that he's just there.
Right.
Like he's not the bandits who just show up. Right. He's
yeah.
he's just there.
He's just there.
And he just wants the land. And he's the most evil person ever.
Right.
And it from taking, I guess, what you can from the earlier movies, it makes the whole theory of him so much different.
Yeah.
And they overdo it. And then they kind of spend a lot of time on him too.
Yeah.
Where it's like, they just keep saying it at you.
Right.
It's like every once in a while he has to show up and kill someone.
Right.
Like otherwise he'll forget that he's evil. Don't think we're talking our way out of this because he's really
weird.
Evil.
Yeah. That's weird. That's like a Darth Vader thing where every time someone disappoints you, you just force choke them at your feet and then promote the guy next to you.
Right.
You know, every time somebody disappoints Sarsgaard's character, he just pulls this gun out of nowhere and just starts shooting people.
Right.
Like, all right. So,
right. And there comes a point, and maybe this movie doesn't quite get there, but lots of movies have. Right. And I think this one's getting kind of close if it doesn't get there all the way, but there comes a point where you're not true to, the bad guys at all,
right.
because whether or not you're like historically accurate to the bad guys of the West or
right.
some real people who were really this way or whatever. But, you know, at some point his own men would just kill him.
Right.
I mean, someone would go, I think maybe I'll be in charge
yeah.
because he's
right.
not, he's got nothing to keep them from doing that.
Right.
Really. I mean,
right.
They have the gold as
sure.
much as he does.
They know where everything is.
We're yeah. in a completely open land of no law
right.
either way.
Right.
And, you know, he's only got the fact that he's crazy and he'll kill you.
Right.
And, you know, you would think at some point of showing him so much too,
right.
that we have to keep watching him.
Yeah.
At some point it has to make you think, wait a minute.
Right.
I mean, one of these guys, that crazy Comanche that he has on his payroll
yeah.
might see decide. Things a little differently
right.
if
yeah.
no one else did.
Right.
But anyway, and then actually I have to say that too, because I do want to mention, I was really disappointed with the way that they get their Comanche
right.
Partner. I don't mind him being a Comanche,
right.
but it was so like they went, all of a sudden they went, shit, that's six.
Yeah. We need
someone else show up
yeah.
for some reason.
Right.
And he just wanders in
right.
and then we have a couple of minutes. It's like, all right, he's in.
Right.
And it was just, it was
yeah.
lazy. It was
it,
lazy.
It was. And that was,
it wasn't even a bad scene either.
Right.
It's except
but
that
it's built
it,
upon
it
something.
Just, its place in the
yeah.
whole movie was
yep.
just such a lazy version of going, I don't know, I need seven.
Yeah.
And then they right. go, and then they, it's like they look at the other movie and go, I can't really figure out anything interesting about the seventh
right.
guy. So
right.
it could be anyone.
Right.
So whatever.
We'll let the audience do it.
Anyway. Okay. So, we have a few minutes left in our,
in our
90 minute version. We could really quickly do our critic takedown. Because everybody's interested and
yeah.
wants to know,
yeah,
and we got a letter and
we got the letter,
and that's what you do. Yeah, Steve wants to know. So anyway, this the review in question here, and we will link to this is as I said, Entertainment Weekly. It's Leah Greenblatt, and the review is one paragraph. That is probably about 200 words. I could just read the whole thing.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. But if you look at the review, it goes on and on. You can sit there and read it while I talk. You're gonna get your perspective. So you swing your way through this whole, I don't know. It looks like it's about 200 words or something. It's like one long paragraph. At the end of it, she comes up with this: but Efron and Divine are an endearingly loony duo, and as much as Plaza and Kendrick never quite sell their vixen shtick, the supporting cast is wickedly stacked. It's like riding a roller coaster fueled by Red Bull and grain alcohol. Kind of gross, but pretty fun too. And it's a B. That part of the that little excerpt of the whole thing is the only part of that review that is not summarizing the plot.
Right.
That's all the criticism there is in that review. Everything above it is just telling you what happened.
Right.
So,
and as far as I can tell, you know, just to defend Steve's thing, like, you could get that from the trailer. There's not an actual summation
of
anything that isn't in the trailer, I remember.
There's not a lot. If you really studied the trailer, watched it three or four times in a row, and then just kind of shot together a summary, you could probably come up with that.
Right.
I don't know. And it's it gives you maybe a slightly deeper insight to exactly what happens and how the movie comes together.
Yeah.
But as far as anything else, so that last part that I left is all you've got to go on for whether or not you like this movie, apart from just a description of it.
Right.
So it's basically like showing you the trailer again.
Right.
And then saying, Efron and Divine are endearingly loony duo.
Yeah.
Plaza and Kendrick never quite sell their vixen shtick, and the supporting cast is wickedly stacked.
Right.
Which is not really to say that they're good.
Right.
Just that there are a lot of people you've seen before.
Right.
And it's like a roller coaster fueled by Red Bull and grain alcohol, kind of gross, but pretty fun too. I don't know how you get pretty fun out of. So basically,
well,
that's such an
interesting one too, because if you're on a red coaster fueled by Red Bull and grain alcohol, you're probably throwing up.
Right.
Like, that's not my idea of a good time.
I almost hope you're throwing up at that point.
Well,
if that's,
you know, kind of gross, but, you know, anyway.
So, and I think the final verdict is that I agree. That's kind of, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it, that it's not a review. It's not any analysis of anything.
It might be a trailer review, because really there's nothing. If you watch the trailer, when I watched the trailer and I went to the film, I thought, well, okay, the two goofy guys and the two sex pot girls who are going to be dumpster fires,
who are just gonna take it for a vacation and screw these guys over.
Hilarity ensues, and then it's gonna be a mashup of Hangover, Wedding Crashers, all these things. Yeah,
that's what it is. And this review might as well take away all that stuff that I just said, all the stuff that I listed as the part that actually describes it, and just say, and hilarity ensues,
right?
And it would be the exact same review, right? It would be a review to the exact same extent.
Yeah, I have to suspect that wasn't actually a review of the movie at all. That was a summation of the trailer with what looked like to be the ambition of the screenplay.
Right. And there are, here's the other thing for me, like you said, I think you could just watch the trailer. There's no actual details in the description of what happens. There's general statements about how, they clean up themselves to go to the all expenses paid Hawaiian getaway.
Right.
Sweetness is not in their DNA any more than impulse control is in Mike and Dave's.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you any, it doesn't give you any details of what actually happens. It's still just like really surfacely summarizing.
The couple places where it seems to be intuitive to a film that you've seen, you know, describing something like a roller coaster means ups and downs, you know, a lot of really fun moments and a lot of really dumb ones. That, a lot of ups and downs doesn't necessarily bring a B to my mind. And when this was a woman's interview, she specifically says there's a part in there where she said that it all just face plants. Oh yeah, sometimes it just face plants. Like, that also isn't to be. Like, if you want to tell me that this is a riotous but kinky and raunchy film, you don't use a roller coaster as a metaphor. You use a rocket. You know, this thing just goes up and up and up until you can't breathe anymore, and then it explodes.
Right.
You know, I don't believe she saw this movie. And I believe if we watch, I mean, we can't do this, and if we were a video feed, we could actually fire up the trailer and read along and be like, this is when it happens here. That's when it happens here. Like, I bet this paragraph is linearly connected to the trailer.
It could be.
And what a dumb interview.
That would be cool.
A dumb review, rather.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
Yeah, that's a wacky one. And especially to give it a B. Like, that's not Metacritic assuming a B from the tone. Like, she.
Right.
She
no.
B on
yeah.
That.
It's got B on it. And even with the non-review that is, you might think maybe C.
Yeah. Right.
Around that area.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the world of film criticism for you.
Wow.
And
those are so weird when they sneak those by people. Yeah.
Right. To be fair, to movie critics in general.
Right.
I know that there are a lot of movie critics. I know a lot of movie critics who, you might work for like your local paper. And, I think that one of the things is that people really have this idea that like all movie critics are the same and like all movie critics are, I guess, kind of working in the same medium, even, I mean, they are kind of working in the same medium, but, you go read Entertainment Weekly or go read your local paper and read the critic section, your local paper's critics, may get 160 words and go.
Right.
And, the Entertainment Weekly critic might say, look, you've got 200 words. Don't go over that. And then another paper, you might read a critic and they've got 600 to 800 words.
Right.
And
here's the caveat for Entertainment Weekly, because I read it all the time. I've always liked Entertainment Weekly, even when it's kind of run through its roller coaster. What we saw and what Steve sent us is legitimate, but it's also probably not the genuine review. Entertainment Weekly, typically when the big film of the week comes out, has a major review. They have a 2-page spread or a 1.5-page spread. And then later
everybody else also reviews.
And then subsequent weeks, they have like a little in case you missed it section where they have a big paragraph or two covering the last 5 or 6 big films, and it's there. And that reads more like not the premier review that they would have had in the week that it opened, but rather the subsequent follow up.
Maybe.
So there's a sense there that maybe what we're reading is not her fault.
Right.
It's actually designed to be that brisk and quick. So, but I have all the Entertainment Weeklies. I throw them out eventually, but I think I probably still have that one. Out of curiosity, I'm going to go look.
Right.
Just see.
Go find out.
Yeah.
Go find out.
I can't believe I'm going to spend time doing this, but now I'm curious. So I will.
All right. Well, that's more than enough for any 1 week of listening to us.
Yeah.
So we're going to get out of here next week. What's next week? Next week is something really cool.
Miss Peregrine's Home for...
Yeah, there you go.
Peculiar Children.
I'm really, really interested to see that. I haven't read it. I just started reading it.
Yeah.
Because it's about to come out.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll finish it. It's not a big book, so...
No.
Yeah, that should be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see... I'm really interested to go into it from having read the book kind of perspective. But, Tim Burton, it looks...
Looks great.
It looks really cool.
It's in my wheelhouse. It looks great.
And it's just so crazy. And what's awesome about it, and what is probably the main reason that Tim Burton is doing it, is because it's a crazy story. It's crazy, like, sci-fi, fantasy, whatever odd section of the bookstore it's in.
Yeah.
But it's not just crazy. It's like crazy for crazy.
Right.
It's like another level of weird, odd people and everything. So,
hopefully it'll be good.
Yeah. Tune in next week and we'll have that for you and a lot more news and interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And, send us in some more critic takedowns or any questions you have. You can go to ruscreening.com, find out how to contact us. And, I'm just going to throw out once again, please share, rate us on iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Bye.